Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you here this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning. And as we begin, just a few announcements I want to share with you. If you have your bulletin, just notice there's an insert in there as well as on the back. First, just a reminder that this evening is the ice cream social, and I hope that you come to that. I hope you've invited someone to come and be a part of that. What a great opportunity for you to invite a friend to come to church and just experience maybe the fellowship as one part of the church that we get to experience daily and weekly. And so we want them as well to experience just the beauty of fellowship. So hope you've invited someone. We're going to, there's a little change of program. We were going to be outside and you needed to bring your lawn chairs, but keep your lawn chairs stored up. I think we're going to go ahead and have the program inside based on that it looks like there may be rain this evening. And if they set everything up and then it rains on them, you know, that wouldn't be good for their instruments or their sound system. So the plan is to go ahead and just have the music here in the sanctuary, and then we'll move into the fellowship hall after their program and just enjoy some good ice cream together. So again, I hope that you invited someone, hope that you come. Program will start at 6 o'clock this evening, of course, right here in the sanctuary. Also, just a reminder that next Sunday we will be having our bread and cup communion service. So I hope that you will come and be prepared to participate in that. Look forward to always having our bread and cup communion service here at Moscow. Also, just another reminder here, or an update really, some information on a youth event that is happening in the ministerial group in our area, North River Ministerial Group. And it's going to be held at the Spring Hill Presbyterian Church picnic shelter. So if you know Spring Hill Church, the picnic shelter is kind of behind the church up on the hill there. And it will be from 6 to 8 p.m. It's from grades 5 to 12, and they are encouraged to come, and there's no cost for the event, and it's called Rekindle the Fire. And so we're looking forward to that. I hope if you fit into that category of youth between grades 5 and 12 that you kind of put that on your calendar, make sure mom has it on her calendar, and that you come be a part of that. It should be just a fun event. There's going to be a band that's playing, of course, Bible study and prayer and praise and food, and so it'll be a good time. I look forward to that. And we appreciate Sean Cook. He's been kind of heading that up from Parnassus Church. Also, let's see. Leadership team meeting this week. Just take note of that. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else I forgot? Of course, Nancy Bailey has a homewarming celebration at her home, and we look forward to that as well. Yes.
Very friendly church here. I really like it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. It's certainly when you have a church family that's praying for you and supporting you and makes a difference. And so we just praise the Lord for that. And of course, I was there as part of the service, and what a blessing it was to just hear the wonderful things about your dad. And I think it was just really nice. Of course, I wasn't alone. Gene was there with me, too, and Russ Barb officiated. So just praise the Lord for that opportunity to celebrate your dad's life, and appreciate you sharing that. Other prayer requests or other announcements? We hadn't gotten there yet. Other announcements? Anything? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. But gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity again to gather as your people, Lord, as your children, as your church, Lord. We come to seek to worship you and your Son, Jesus. Lord, we praise and glorify his name among us here today. Lord, we pray that all people might know the name of Jesus. And Lord, that they might experience and know for themselves the salvation that comes only through him. Lord, there is hope, there is life, there is grace, there is love found in and through that relationship which we have with your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we praise and glorify his name here this morning. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit move in our midst today. Lord, just draw us close to you as we turn our hearts now and worship to you and our Savior. Bless us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand together for this morning's call to worship. You'll find this inside your bulletin, of course, coming from portions this week of Matthew 26. It says, "Then Jesus came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation.' Again, a second time, he went away and prayed. And again, he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So he left them and went away again and prayed a third time. And then he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed in the hands of sinners. For the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Let's turn in our hymnals to page 43. "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Page 43. Thank you. may be seated. I want to take just a couple of minutes now to gather up our prayer requests, our praises. I know many of you got the prayer request this week for my dad, Dana. Of course, Dana had a procedure, I guess, 2 weeks ago now, week and a half ago, ablation on his heart. And, of course, he's had just a few complications from that procedure. He was back in the hospital July 4th, and then 2 days later, he got to come home. He was having some fluid build up on around his heart and lung, which was, of course, causing him to not be able to breathe well. And so they removed that fluid and drew that off and then sent him home. But, you know, just a day later, that fluid came back. So he's been in the hospital, I guess, since yesterday morning. At this point, the plan is to put a tube into his chest so that fluid won't build up on him. And so that is scheduled today, I think around lunchtime is when they're going to do that procedure. So if you would, just keep my dad, Dana, in your prayers. This has certainly been a lot for him and for my mother, Debbie. And we just praise the Lord that she's been able to be there by my dad's side through this and care for him. And so if you would, just lift both of them up in your prayers. And specifically for Dana, that this procedure would bring the healing that he needs. We certainly pray for God's healing, and we know God can work through these procedures. And so that's what we're praying for, especially some relief. He's in a lot of pain because of that fluid buildup as well, and just very uncomfortable. So we just give thanks for all the nurses and doctors that are there looking after him. He's blessed by each one of them, and of course we lift them up in prayer too, that they are blessed by the work that they're doing, and we just pray that they can provide Dana some help. So appreciate that, appreciate your prayers. One thing that he shared with me yesterday at the hospital was that he wanted to make sure that I told each of you thank you. Thank you for your prayers, thank you for the cards, the calls, the meals. All those things have been just a real blessing to him and my mother. And so he just wanted to make sure that you heard firsthand that he is really appreciative of the church here. So we just keep praying for Dana and just pray that he can get through this and get back to being well is our prayer. Other prayer requests that I'd like you to put on your list. I don't know if you've seen the flyer. I put a little flyer out on the bulletin board. But next Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m., hopefully it won't be raining, pray for good weather. But I'm going to be at the riverbank, and I've posted it out to the Mount Solon area. If you took your trash to the dump, you'll see I got my sign there too. You can't escape the information I'm trying to share. Lord laid on my heart that there are those in our community that are believers and they haven't had the opportunity to be baptized. So in true John the Baptist fashion, I'm going to be down at the river baptizing. And the North River is where I'll be. You know, up to a few weeks ago, I wasn't going to be able to do this. I had a date on my calendar that I was going to go to the river and baptize. And I had that on there for about 2 months that the date was chosen. And my calendar fills up quick. If I don't put something down on the calendar, it won't happen. And so 2 months ago, I put a date on the calendar. And then guess what happened? A drought. And North River dried up. And I wasn't going to be able to do the baptisms. And I said, Lord, you know, if you've called me to do this, I've got to have water. Got to have a river there. And so, wouldn't you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it rained 6-7 inches, and it rained in the right place. The river came up. And so, praise God, we're going to be able to do these baptisms. And I'm looking forward to being there. So, we've shared the information around. This doesn't replace the baptisms that we have here at Moscow, which are a part of joining the church. So don't be confused with that. But there are people in our community that maybe are not associated with a church, and God is speaking to them. And you know what? I want to be there. Let Lord use me to be there to help them in their commitment with Christ. And so I just want you to be in prayer about that, that those that God is preparing their hearts to come and receive baptism, that they'll be ready and they'll come and they'll receive that baptism next Sunday at 2:00. So so just if you would, please be in prayer about that. Also, I want you to continue to put on your prayer list Jenny Smith on the 10th of July. She will be having, that's tomorrow, that she will be having that procedure on her heart. And I'm certainly praying for her and that. I pray that you will as well. And just lift her up in prayers. Also, if you would be in prayer for the annual meeting for the Covenant Brethren, maybe you've seen that announcement in there that myself and Fred Shank and Helen, too, will be traveling. Also traveling with me will be pastor from Elk Run, Jonathan Farmer. And so we'll be traveling there to West Virginia and going there to the conference. And if you would, just be in prayer for that, well, for the conference, that it will go well, but also that God's hand will continue to be a blessing upon the Covenant Brethren. Fred serves as national treasurer for the Covenant Brethren, and so that's a position in which he does God's work, and we just appreciate that. But our prayers are continued for this annual meeting as well as those traveling there. Also, just a praise this morning. I don't know if you have seen the flowers here, but Tammy and Alexandria have shared those flowers with us this morning, of course, and they have put them there in memory of Shirley Ware. And so I see the Ware family there sitting, and so that's special, and we certainly appreciate that. Alexandria, where is Alexandria? Tammy, there they are, back in the back. Thank you all so much for doing that. Very beautiful. Okay, any other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Pauline?
I have two.
Okay.
That's an Attaway family. That's a distant cousin of mine. Will be buried Tuesday.
Okay.
At Green Hill, and Pastor Farmer is minister.
Okay.
And then Nellie Hebner, she's my cousin from Stanton.
Uh-huh.
She has fallen 4 times within the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Right.
But those are her kin people that will be playing.
Okay. Yes, that's right. The Hebner family are part of her are kin people. And so if you would put Nellie Hebner on your prayer list, please be in prayer for her. She's had several falls, as well as the McManaway family, if you would be in prayer for them, for the burial, for recent loss of family there. Other prayer requests or praises? Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. doxology. Let's stand together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You knowing, Lord, that You hear our prayers here this morning. Lord, that You're blessed by our gathering together. You're blessed by our praise, by our offering. Lord, You're blessed by our prayers. Father, we seek to bless You. Lord, You're so worthy of our blessing. Lord, we love You because You first loved us, is what the Scripture tells us. Lord, we thank You for that love. Lord, we thank You for that unconditional love. Lord, even when we fall short, this morning, Lord, we all confess that we fall short. Lord, we know in our mind those areas where we fall short. Where, Lord, You've told us one thing, and yet, Lord, we continue to do another. Lord, we confess our sin here this morning. Knowing, Lord, that as we confess our sin, You are faithful to forgive us of our sin. Lord, we thank You for the forgiveness we receive. Lord, all You desire is that we faithfully come, that we lay our sin upon Your cross. And Lord, that there at the cross, Lord, we find forgiveness. We find redemption. We find healing. Lord, thank You for Your Son Jesus. Lord, thank You for the healing that He brings into our life. And Lord, that as we seek Him, Lord, He provides all that we need. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer list this morning. Father, we pray Your hand of healing upon those that need healing. Lord, we trust in You as the great physician. Lord, we pray for those unmentioned prayer requests as well. Lord, have Your way. Lord, we praise You and give You thanks for this offering this morning. Lord, may You receive it unto Yourself. Lord, might You bless the givers even as they seek to give unto You. Lord, bless us, I pray, as we turn to Your Scripture. Continue to remind us, Lord, that in You, in and through Your Son Jesus, that we have the victory, that we are victorious through Your Son Jesus. The victory is ours. And Lord, we thank You for that. Bless us, I pray. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's groups can be dismissed. Youth Sunday School, Children's Church. You know, the Children's Church has a name. It's called Spirit Seekers Children's Church, is what we initially called it. And they're seeking the Spirit of God. And so we praise the Lord for those that are sharing with them this morning as they seek God's Spirit. Okay, in your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Titled this sermon, Turning Temptation into Triumph. Turning Temptation into Triumph. Believe it or not, I got this scripture a few weeks ago because I'm going to be sharing at a summer camp for the Covenant Brethren here in about 2 weeks. And this is the scripture that they gave me to share with the children, that we're going to be talking about temptation and shutting the door on Satan. And so I thought, hey, why not just try it out here on you guys before I take it to the children? And so what you'll hear is a version. I guess as I share with the children, it will change a little bit. Messages never quite stay the same. You kind of preach to your audience or your congregation. And so my congregation will change. I'm sure the sermon will change a little bit. But this will be what I'm going to be sharing with the children about temptation, about how Satan seeks to tempt us away from the things of God. And so you be in prayer. If you don't get anything from it, at least pray that the children will get something from it. And so pray for me too as I seek to share with the children in a couple weeks there. This is the first ever Covenant Brethren summer camp for our new region, which is the Blue Ridge region is what we are associated with or in. And so that makes, I think there are 7 churches now, I believe so. Fred, am I wrong on that?
6 or 7.
6 or 7 churches that are associated with the Blue Ridge region. Of course, that is growing. And so, I expect it to continue to grow in coming years. I think our region will be a real blessing to not only our church, but so many others that are going to be a part of it. And so we're blessed to be a part of it. And we're so blessed that they came up with this summer camp so quickly. And I think there are somewhere between 50 or 60 kids that are going to be a part of this first summer camp. And so we are excited about that, especially I hope that things go well and the children will learn a lot. And, of course, I'll be a part of that. But let's look here at turning temptation into triumph. And we're looking at Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, Luke chapter 4. Several other of the Gospels carry this story. But we'll look here at this story as contained in the book of Luke. It says, "And then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 1, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when he had ended, he was hungered. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' And then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give to you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. And therefore, if you will just worship before me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' And then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here,' verse 10, 'for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" And verse 12 there, "And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." Isn't that last little verse there, isn't that something? He's not done, is he? Satan wasn't done yet. That was just the beginning of the temptations here, but he wasn't done. Well, we're talking about temptation. There's a few things I just want you to know right off the bat when it comes to temptation. That is, first of all, that temptation is a tactic, as you see here, that the devil uses to make us disobey God. He tempts us to disobey God through this sort of this sort of work that he does. This is a work of Satan. Do you know the Bible says that God isn't in the business of temptation? That's what the Bible said. God doesn't tempt anyone. And so often, sometimes we get in our mind that God is doing something bad to tempt us away, or he's putting these things in front of our face or eyes or in our mind to try to tempt us away from him. And that's not the way God works. God doesn't want to tempt us away from us. Now, God does test us, doesn't he? We are tested by God. You can go back in the Old Testament. You can see a guy named Job. He was tested, wasn't he? God wasn't tempting him, but he was testing him. And there's a difference. But Satan works in the realm of temptation. That's his tool. Satan is at war with you. And he wants you to forsake your faith. He wants you to turn your back on God and curse the name of God. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants you to destroy yourself through sin. You know, so many people today think Satan is out to do something good for them. You've got groups that are dedicated to worshiping Satan as if it's something good. The Bible never speaks of Satan as if he's doing something good in our life. It's always in the way of destroy or destruction. Satan wants to destroy our life. And so God doesn't tempt anyone. The Bible says, "Let no one say, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man." And so we see that this is a tactic that Satan uses against us. He wants to see us fail. And that's what he's doing here in the wilderness with Jesus. He wants to see Jesus fail. And he seeks to tempt him away from his work and from the things of God. And that's how Satan works even today. Now, temptation is a tactic of the devil. It's also a liability to the Christian life. We can go through the Bible and you can see all sorts of individuals that Satan tempted, or that they were tempted in sin, and that it caused negative effects in their life. Think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, Jonah. Poor Jonah, he tucked tail and ran, didn't he? He was tempted that, why do I have to go preach to these guys? I'll just get on a ship and go the other direction. You can see all sorts of temptations and the effects of that sin, them giving in to sin within their life. Samson, remember his temptation. He had a wife that didn't have pure motives for his life. Peter and James and John, Judas. Boy, wasn't that a tragic story. Here's a disciple, one of the 12, Judas. And what was he tempted by? Money. Money tempted him away. And he chose some coins of silver than Jesus. Can you imagine? He chose silver over Jesus. He rejected Christ. And he betrayed his Lord for a little bag of silver. Temptation is a great liability, isn't it, in our life? And temptation, though, now here's the good news, it cannot overtake us unless we allow it to. In fact, God, as I've said here in the opening statement, he can turn temptation into triumph in our life. That temptation shouldn't conquer us today, that we have the strength that we need to overcome temptation in our life. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That first of all, God's not going to allow you to be tempted more than you can handle. How many of us have ever said, oh God, I don't know how much more I can handle here. But God knows your limit, doesn't he? He knows, and he says, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted any more than you can handle. I'm going to give you a way of escape from that temptation. I'm not going to trap you with it. God is good, isn't he? He says, I'm going to allow you to have triumph over temptation. That temptation shouldn't be something that controls your life or destroys your life. Now, there's a couple thoughts, I think, initially when it comes to overcoming temptation that I think can help us in temptation. And number one is that we really need to be careful not to get into a tempting situation. Now, you can see how that would really preach to the young ones, right? These young guys, don't get yourself into a tempting situation. Avoid those things. Avoid those places where you might go and you could be tempted, or avoid people that you might be around that might influence you or tempt you in the wrong sort of ways. Don't get yourself into tempting situations. It's like the little boy that was sitting under the apple tree. And the farmer came out and seen that this boy was sitting underneath his apple tree, and he said, "Young man, are you trying to steal one of my apples?" And the boy said, "No, sir, I'm trying not to." It was tempting for him, wasn't it? He wanted to take one of the apples for himself. He's trying not to. Don't get yourself in a tempting situation. And we need to avoid those areas. You know, Martin Luther said that you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building nests in your hair. And that's the way it is with temptation. We need to avoid it. We can't control certain things. We can't control pornography on the internet, can we? But we can certainly control ourselves and not getting on there and looking at it. We can't control that kids, other kids or groups are going to drink alcohol, party lifestyle. We can't control that. But we can certainly refrain from keeping ourselves away from those sorts of things. We can't control that there's going to be people that do drugs. But we can control ourselves, can't we, not to go around those areas or places where people are doing drugs. We can control these sorts of things. And that's what Martin Luther's saying here. You can't keep the birds from flying over the sky, over your head in the sky, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Now, number two, if you do get into a tempting situation, the key is to quickly get out. The Bible says we are never to fight temptation, but we are to flee temptation. Isn't that fun? Isn't that great? Not to fight. We're not to stand and pick a fight. We're to get out of there. We're to flee, to run away. Basically, the best advice the Bible has for overcoming temptation is cowardice. Run. Run away. Get out of it. If you see these things happening, run away. Don't stay. Remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? And what was it? The Potiphar's wife came and tried to tempt Joseph. And she wanted to allure him away. And what did he do? He took off running. It says that he ran away so fast that he left his coat even behind. He didn't even stay to get his coat. He left. And he ran away from that temptation. Second Peter said, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And we need to run away when it comes to those tempting temptations. Situations. All right, now Jesus experiences temptations tests here, doesn't he? And Jesus is tempted in three ways. Maybe you've heard these things before. This is an old doctrine of the Bible. First of all, though, we see the temptation of the eyes, don't we? Temptation of the eyes. Verse 3, if you are the Son of God, the devil said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, why would this be a temptation for Jesus? This temptation of the eyes, that these stones might be made into bread. Well, he'd been there, and he hungered, didn't he? He had been there a remarkable amount of time, 40 days. He was without water, he was without food, and he greatly hungered. And so Satan's saying, just what about some delicious bread? Wouldn't that be great? Just turn those stones into bread. Now, that would be quite a temptation. Could Jesus do that? Absolutely. He could easily turn the stones into bread. And that would have been quite tempting for him. Yeah, have you ever been what they call hangry? That's when you don't eat for a little bit and then you start to get irritable. You start to get angry. And it's hunger anger. Hangry. I get hangry sometimes. And you want something to eat. If you don't get something to eat for a while, you want something to eat. And you kind of get irritable in that way. So you could see this as a weakness. Yes, food in general can be a weakness for us, can it? It can be a... It's funny how that God even puts food and spiritual things kind of together. For instance, in prayer, he says you can reach a deeper prayer life by what? Fasting. Isn't that weird that Jesus... or that God puts food and connects it spiritually to us. It can have a spiritual effect on us, can it? I tell you, sometimes I'm tested spiritually when I walk by the table and there's all kinds of cookies laying on there. Especially those big macadamia nut ones. Deborah bought a big box of those. Whew. And I ate way too many of them. But you can be tested spiritually even... by food. And so Satan knows this, doesn't he? He tempts us. Hey, Satan will tempt you where he knows you're weak. He will tempt you where he knows you're weak. And here he was tempting Jesus in the area where he was most weak at that moment, which was food. He hungered, the Bible says. He hungered. What's the temptation of the eyes look like for us? Well, he might tempt us with alcohol, might tempt us with drugs, might tempt us with sexual relationships, might tempt us with stuff, desiring things, whether it's phones or watches or clothes, shoes, hats, hoodies, boats, vacation homes, or maybe even vacations. He tempts us with these sorts of things. He says, I want you to focus on that. That's most important. Not the work that you're doing for God. Not that God is even important, but this is what is important in your life. That your whole life should be organized and focused on this thing. And that's the lust of the eyes that take over. And we start to covet maybe. You know, in the Ten Commandments, God put in there, thou shalt not covet. That is that you look across and see something that someone else has, the lust of the eyes, and that you start to desire that and need that for yourself. You know, think about temptation of the eyes. Sometimes I'm reminded of fishing. That when you go fishing, I oftentimes use lures. Sometimes I use worms, but use lures and you throw that lure out there, and the lure, sometimes it sparkles and flashes, makes all kinds of shiny appearances in the water. So what? That the fish would see it. They would desire it. They would want it. And that they would eat it. Of course, that's what I want them to do, right? I'd catch a lot of fish if they do that. But what's wrong with this? Well, if they bite on this shiny thing, guess what lies within it? A hook. And that's the way it is with the temptation of the eyes with this sort of sin. It looks good. It looks phenomenal. It looks enticing. It looks flashy. We've got to have it. But guess what lies within it? The means of death. And that's what Satan was doing here. He was wanting to tempt Jesus into a place that ultimately would lead him to death. You know, we talk about Jesus called us to be fishers of men, didn't he? Jesus was a fishers of men. You know who else is a fishers of men? Satan. Well, we don't think about that, do we? He's also outcasting his lure. And he's enticing us away with the flashy sorts of things to try to get us to bite. And then he wants to reel us in with it, doesn't he? Wants to put us on the frying pan. Burn us with the pits of hellfire, right? Okay, temptation of the eyes. The second one is the temptation of flesh. Look at verses 5 and 6 there. Then the devil took him up to the high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. The devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you, their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Now, what would be the temptation for Jesus here, the temptation of the flesh? Well, Jesus had come to redeem all the world, hadn't he? Here Satan is showing him all the kingdoms of the world. This is why Jesus had come. He had come to redeem these things. And Satan is saying, if you just bow down and worship me, I will allow you to have all these kingdoms. I'll just give you all these things, and you won't have to go to the cross and suffer. That's what Satan is saying here. Don't go to the cross. Don't suffer for those people. Just bow and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. If you were to, maybe I was to employ you to work here at the church, and you were to be paid $100 to do various things around the church, and maybe I had you sweep the walks and mow the grass, and just had a list of all these things, and if you got done at the day, you would end I would give you $100 to do these jobs. So maybe you start your work, and then you happen to notice, hey, there's a $100 bill right there on the pastor's desk. Now, why would I need to do all that work if I could just go ahead and take that $100 and call it good? Take the $100 and forget the work. Why do the work when the money's laying right there? Now, what's the problem with that scenario? First of all, it's stealing, isn't it? You're taking what isn't yours. And isn't that what Satan is kind of saying here? I'm going to give you the kingdoms of the world. I'm going to give you what isn't rightfully mine. I'm going to take it. I'm stealing it, in a sense, and giving it to you. Now, the second problem is that by taking it, it causes you to sin against God. Think about that. Not only is it wrong, but then you are sinning against God in taking that money. There's no good in it. And so what is Satan offering? What Satan is offering is not real. It's not good. It's deceptive. It won't offer any good. And Jesus, of course, doesn't fall into the trap. Well, third is the temptation of pride. And the devil takes him, of course, up to the pinnacle of the temple. And he says unto him there, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, concerning thee. That is basically, jump off, try to commit suicide, and you'll test God to see if what he says is real, that nothing could hurt you. Now, that's true, that God would not allow any harm to come to Jesus at this point. But again, he's just being very deceptive and tricky here. Tricky. And what he's saying is that if you would just tempt God to kill yourself, that you would prove God's love for you as the Son of God. But Jesus' purpose wasn't to come to prove God's love for him, was it? Is that why Jesus came? Just so that he could prove that he was God's Son and that God loved him as the Son? That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came not to prove God's love for him, but what? To prove God's love for you, for you. See how tricky that is of Satan? And this is the pride. He's saying, hey, don't worry about them. Focus on yourself. Isn't that what pride does? Pride focuses on me. Whenever you're living in pride, it's all about me. It's about my feeling. It's about me being glorified. It's about me being lifted up. It's about me, 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 me. Pride is the sin of me. And Satan is trying to tempt Jesus to think about himself first. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh, pride of life. Jesus, he experienced temptation in all three of these areas, and he was victorious, wasn't he? Isn't that the good news? He was victorious. And he exposes temptation's lie for what it is. Jesus said, for lust of the eyes, for it is written, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. for the lust of the flesh. Jesus replied, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou worship. And for pride of life, Jesus replies, for it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Listen, he overcome temptation, didn't he? He turned temptation into triumph. He overcame the attack of Satan. He used Scripture, first of all, didn't he? The truth against the lies of Satan. And he was victorious. The good news is you can be victorious too. Amen? We don't have to succumb to temptation in our life. We don't have to allow Satan to overcome us with temptation. We can overcome temptation through God's Word and through His help. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that, Lord, we have been delivered from the hands of Satan. That, Lord, even though he might try today to tempt us away, that, Lord, we have the power, the authority, the skills we need. We have Your help to help us to overcome temptation in our life. Lord, Satan is continuing to tempt away his children, Your children. Lord, he's trying to tempt us away into a life of sin. And Lord, we rebuke Satan's attempt, even now, Lord. We stand firm on Your Word and on Your holy promise that we can overcome all temptation in our life to be victorious. Lord, help us, each one of us, to not give in to the temptation of Satan. But Lord, give us the power we need to overcome this temptation in our life. Father, we praise You now. Thank You for this Scripture. We pray that You sow this truth to our heart today. We might remember it. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather in our closing hymn now. And it is page 51, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Page 51. And we'll stand together and sing. In prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go forth from this place, Lord, we go back into the wilderness, the world around us, where Satan is active and he's tempting those away from the things of God. Lord, help us. Lord, give us the strength we need to overcome all temptation in our life. Lord, we want to seek to please You in all that we do and all that we say. Lord, I just pray that You continue to deliver us from the temptations of Satan in our life. And Lord, that we might be triumphant, even as Jesus was triumphant over Satan. Lord, give us the victory. Keep us strong. Allow us to overcome the enemies in our life. Lord, we pray this now in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.